that Elijah had come, and Ahab went out to meet Elijah. And when Ahab saw him, he exclaimed, "See, so is it really you, you troublemaker of Israel? I have made no trouble for Israel," Elijah replied. "You and your family are troublemakers, for you have refused to obey the commandments of the Lord and have worshiped the image of Baal instead. Now summons all Israel to join me at Mount Carmel, along with the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who are supported by Jezebel." So Ahab summons all the people of Israel and the prophets to Mount Carmel. I want to speak tonight on the subject, the miracle on the mountain.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, we pray that your spirit would just touch us tonight. Again, Lord, with your word, we come here, Lord, just believing every service that you're going to show up, God. And I pray that tonight that we have shown up to do great exploits and worship and praise to you, God. And I just come tonight, Lord, to experience a miracle, Lord God. Hallelujah. Miracles are here, Lord. Miracles are here in this place tonight, God. Hallelujah. I pray that we are expecting of them. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Elijah had challenged these prophets of Baal. Amen. To come on, let's see whose God's going to answer. Amen. Who is going to breathe fire down from heaven and consume this sacrifice that we're putting before the God of all truth? Amen. So many times that's what this world's looking for. A God that will do what he says he will do. Amen?
Amen.
We serve a God that will do what he says he will do. Amen. It doesn't matter if our faith is low and we haven't seen a miracle. God still is a miracle working God. Amen. And Elijah had that type of faith. It doesn't matter. God is going to answer by fire. Amen? Because you're serving a God that is non-existent. Amen? You're serving a God of self. A God that makes you feel good. A God that gives you pleasure. A God that does whatever you want him to do. That's the kind of God that they were serving. Amen? The God of pleasure. God of just accepting any kind of lifestyle. Amen? And they were convinced that their God was going to answer by fire. And they done everything they could to make that happen. You know the story? You know, they were cutting themselves and jumping up and down and whatever they could do to get this God's attention. So much so that Elisha got to heckling with them. You know, what's the matter? Your God asleep? Is he relieving himself? You know, what's your God up to right now? What's he doing? Is he on vacation? Wouldn't that have been a hoot to have been there? And Elijah knowing in a few moments, fire is going to split the sky and it's going to come down and consume the sacrifice when I get it prepared. It's going to happen. But he was, for a moment, just having some fun.
Yeah. Yep.
Come on. You got a God that is so good. You know, here, come on, let's see it. What are you doing here? You know, maybe he's on vacation. Wow. But Elijah was certain, knowing that he not only was going to consume a sacrifice, he got a little bolder. He says, dig a trench around this thing, get some water pots, go borrow some water, get a whole bunch of stuff, dump it all over this sacrifice, get it all around, get it saturated wet, get it soaking, drenched, and I'm going to pray a prayer. I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. I'm going to call on my God, the God of fire, and he is going to consume the sacrifice that we have brought. And if he answers by fire, then that is your God.
Right.
Amen. That's who you need to worship. And we know the story. Elijah prayed, and immediately the fire of the Lord flashed down and burned and consumed up the water. It licked it up the water. It licked up the sacrifice. It just totally just consumed everything around that altar. Amen. Hallelujah. We serve that God tonight. Amen. Whatever is taunting you in your life and trying to tell you that you just need to just stop doing what you're doing and come follow, come live with us, come serve the God that we serve. Amen. Yours is a false God. Tell them, my God answers by fire.
Yeah.
Amen. In a moment, God's going to do some great things in my life.
Amen.
And before the people entered into the promised land, God warned them of the dire consequences of serving other gods in Canaan. He told them that you must follow the Lord, and him only shall you serve. But if you go a whoring after other gods,
right.
Let me hear. I'm here to tell somebody tonight.
Right.
Whatever you're trying to serve right now, amen, if it's not the one true and living God, you're on the wrong path.
Huh?
Amen?
Amen?
It's time to wake up.
Right.
Out of sleep.
Amen.
It's time to wake up out of slumber because Jesus Christ is coming back.
Amen.
Amen. You're a fool if you don't believe God is coming back. Amen. Where have you been? Have you not seen what's happening? Just today, the United States seized the ship of North Korea's. God, things are happening, folks. Things are happening in the world that is leading to the Bible. It talks about a war that's going to kill a third of the world's population.
Right.
The Word of God says it's going to happen.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is coming back for a church, a bride that is ready, that is hungry, that is desirous, and that has kept itself. Amen. That has kept its lamps full.
Amen.
Amen. I hope your lamp's full tonight.
Right.
Amen.
Because Jesus is coming. The bridegroom is coming. Amen. He's coming after a bride that is spotless. How can we be spotless? By the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming soon. And before his death, Joshua warned the Israelites to unite with the ungodly inhabitants of the land and they had entered. In Joshua 23:7-8, in the NIV, it says that do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods and swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to these gods. If you're not serving Jesus Christ tonight, you're serving other gods. Amen? He is the only true and living God. And we must stay away from the fleshly desires of the world, because it'll lead you into idolatry. You will worship something. You are worshiping something right now.
Right.
Amen? You are dedicating your life to something. It'll either be Jesus Christ or hell and its imps.
Yeah.
There is no in between. Amen? I choose Christ tonight. I choose Jesus Christ. Amen? It takes a man or a woman to stand up and say, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I serve Him, and I walk with Him, and I love Him, and I adore Him, and I will serve Him all of my days. There was only one that stood at the cross with Jesus Christ. One man. The rest ran. And those that had walked with Him for a long time. It takes a man or a woman to say yes to Jesus Christ. Amen? You don't believe me? Just the next time you're in the grocery store, walk up to tell somebody you believe in Jesus Christ and see how hard that is.
Yeah.
This ain't for sissies. This ain't for the weak at heart. Amen. This is a gospel that takes somebody with some intestinal fortitude to stand up and say, I love God.
Amen.
And I'm going to serve Him. And I'm going to serve the true and living God. I'm going to walk with Him. Amen. I'm going to bow my knee right now, because one day we will bow our knee and it won't be so pretty then.
Amen.
Right. Amen. You'll bow your knee and you'll say, I know You, Lord. You are God. You are Jesus. Amen. I'd much rather come into His presence right now and allow Him to cleanse me and wash me and purify my soul, my mind and my spirit. Amen. And get those things out of my life. Let Him judge me now. That's our world's motto. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. Why not? You want to wait to heaven for judgment? That's not going to be a pretty sight. Amen. The Word of God is judging me right now. Let it take things out of your life right now so that Jesus doesn't have to do it when we get before His face. Amen. Let the Word judge us right now. And at the time of our text, the wicked King Ahab had his wife, his abominable wife, Jezebel, ruled the northern kingdom of Israel. And this wicked couple was responsible for leading God's people deeper into apostasy,
right,
leading them astray. 1 Kings 16:31-33, it says, he not only considered it trivial to commit the sin of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, but he also married Jezebel's daughter of Ithbaal, king of the Sidonians, and began to serve Baal and worship him. And he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal that he built in Samaria. Ahab also made an Asherah pole and did more to arouse the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, than did all the kings of Israel before him. There's some pretty wicked kings in the Bible.
Yes, there are.
Amen. There was some pretty wicked people to arouse God's anger against His people. In response, God raised up a prophet, Elijah. in one of the most spectacular showdowns between truth and falsehood, Elijah challenged idolatry. Elijah challenged what we put before God. I'm here to challenge you tonight. What is your idol? What are you holding on to that is above and beyond God? Is it your car, your house, your family, your bank account, your 401k? What is so important that you cannot have a relationship with Jesus Christ? He's done everything he can do to give you peace, joy, happiness, all the wonderful attributes of God that he has laid out before us are here and readily available to you tonight. Amen? It takes a man or a woman to receive it and walk in it. Amen? And have a relationship with the Creator of all things. Stop believing the lies of the world. Amen? It'll lead you to nothing but depression and anxiety and strife and all other sorts of ungodliness. So lay it all aside. Put your eyes on the one and only true and living God. Amen. Serve him. Walk with him. He will do powerful things in your life. The more you yield to him, the powerful you get. The more power you have. Amen. You have within you the same power that Elijah had. Amen. You have that ability to call down fire from heaven. Amen. It's a matter of how close you want to get. How devoted do you want to get? How in just tight with God you want to be. We have the ability. Sky's the limit with God. Anything is. I told a man just yesterday, I said, anything is possible with God. Anything. He told me, he says, I have a what they call an incurable disease. I said, uh-uh. I said, anything is possible with God. Nothing is impossible. God can do anything. It's how much we desire it. How much do we want God to do anything for us? Amen? Are we satisfied with just getting the little bit that we come in here and scratch off of God? Is that satisfying you? Or do you want the miracle? Amen. It takes a diving into the kingdom and getting saturated with the presence of God. It takes a just an undying love for God to see the miracle in your life that God wants you to have. Amen. It says it's a total I surrender, God, to you, the only one and true and living God. I'm not going to let anything else become God to me. Amen? I'm not going to allow it, just the little things to be my God. And hold them before you. Amen? If you have a hard time coming in and worshiping the Lord, you've got another God in your life. You've got another something in your life that you're serving, and it's not God. Because if you're serving the one and true and living God, worship is easy. Praise is easy. Amen. Giving God all of your worship and all of your praise, dancing before the Lord, shouting and magnifying God is not hard. Amen. It becomes an easy thing when you're all in. And there's no idols in your life. There's nothing keeping you You know, pride. Pride can become a god to you. Your pride. That got a hold of an angel. Pride did. Amen. Has pride got a hold of you, angel? Is it too hard for you to praise and magnify God? Or has something got a hold of you? Something got a hold of you that you are too nervous to praise God. You're too nervous to talk to this person. You're too nervous because of who you are, or you don't want them to know that you're a Christian. Right. I'm only a Christian when I'm at church. That's when I'm a Christian. Right. Thursday night at 7 o'clock, Ibby starts. And about sometimes if Brother Matt doesn't go too long, 8:10 or 7:45, then I'm serving my God. Then I can talk like I want to talk, and I can act like I want to act, and I can go where I want to go, and I can do what I want to do, because my God is pleased. My God is excited. When the one and true and living God is feeling the nails and feeling the whip and feeling all the thorn of crowns pressed into his skull because of our lack of living and giving ourselves to him. Right. We still drive nails. We still throw the whip. We still throw the comments. We still throw the things at our God. Israel wavered between two opinions. So God directed Elijah to confront Ahab. In 1 Kings 17:1, it says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word.'" Right. Elijah ain't here tonight. Amen. It's raining. Amen. 3.5 years later, Elijah was again called to confront Ahab. In 1 Kings 18:1-2, it says, "And after a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land.' So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now the famine was severe." And I guess I wasn't done there with that scripture. The rain, it was severe. The famine was severe in Samaria, and they were in need of rain. And Elijah proposed that the prophets of Baal and Asherah stage a contest with him on the top of Mount Carmel, where all could clearly witness the event. Elijah was at a disadvantage. 850-1. Amen. It seems like we're at a disadvantage. Oh, have you heard people tell you, "Can you... God, what kind of God? All these people, you mean all these people are going to hell if they don't get the Holy Ghost speaking with tongues?" Come on, the church world tells us that. You mean to tell me if I don't get baptized in Jesus' name and all these people that followed these great men are going to hell? Here he is, one man to 850 false believing prophets. Amen. The real rivalry was more than a true prophet versus the false prophet. It was a true God against a false God. Amen. There aren't no in-betweens. Amen. There's only one God, and all the rest are false. I'm sorry if that offends you. I'm sorry if that hurts. But that's the truth. That is the truth. There is only one God. His name is Jesus Christ. Amen. You must serve and follow Him, and Him only shalt thou serve. You got to know Him. You got to walk with Him. You got to have a relationship with Him. You got to let Him in your life. Amen. Ain't nothing else in the world. It all comes just you can just do it. Except God, you got to do that yourself. Everything else just comes naturally. It just flows to you. But serving God, you got to take a step back and say, I'm not going to walk the way I used to walk and do what I used to do. Why? Because I want to talk to Him. I want to know Him. I want to get closer to Him. So if I want to get closer to Him, I got to leave what my flesh is pulling me to do. Amen? Israel was at a crossroads for way too long. Israel had been riding on the fence of indecision and compromise. It's time to make a decision. Are you going to live for Jesus Christ? Kiss the world goodbye and say, I am going to sell out to Jesus Christ, because He's going to bring fire down and consume my sacrifice. Amen. There's a miracle waiting on your commitment to Jesus Christ. Amen. You want your family living for Jesus Christ? You are the one that God is waiting on to answer your prayers. It's God's will, folks, for your loved ones to live for Jesus Christ. We are the ones that are holding the hands of God from doing the miracle on the mountain. Amen. You're the one. You have the ball in your hand to see God do the miraculous in your life. Amen. Scripture is full of scripture that says that God delighteth in doing good to His people. God's delight is for you to be blessed and great things to come to you, to your family. Amen. He prospered every Abraham and Isaac, and all of those forefathers were prospered because they served the living, true, and one only God. They didn't get carried away with false idols and all of those things. Elijah demanded a decision. In 1 Kings 18:24, in the New Living Translation, it says, "Then call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, the God that who answers by setting fire to the wood is the true God." And all the people agreed. I challenge you tonight. If your God's so mighty, next time you're sick or your baby's sick, call on Him. Call on the one that you're serving. I hope it's God, and His name is Jesus. I hope you're not out with the family member doing what you know God is not pleased with when that happens. That you're still serving the God that you serve on Thursday night and Sunday when that tragedy comes your way. God is looking for people that will follow Him. Are you willing to follow Jesus Christ tonight? Amen. Are you sold out? Are you sold out to God to come and say, "Hey, I want you to challenge a group of prophets for me to call down, to bring down fire and consume a sacrifice"? Can God do that tonight with you? Could He call upon you to be so bold and brave? God wants to help us. He wants to be in our lives. He wants to do miracles, my friend. God wants to do a miracle in your life. Amen. God wants to save your family. Amen. He does. He is willing. Amen. He is waiting up here every service for your family member to walk up here and raise their hands and finally surrender their life to Jesus Christ and not their way. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the only way that brings peace. Right. It's the only way that brings joy. Amen. Everything else will just lead to depression, to anger, fear, anxiety, on and on and on. Devil's never satisfied. He's always looking for more till he consumes your whole entire life. Are you consumed? Is your whole life consumed with Jesus Christ tonight? God created everything. Amen? Amen. Created you tonight. Created everything that we do. And God spoke the worlds and everything else into existence. God, we serve the Creator, the living God, the magnificent, awesome, loving God. And He is not limited by man. God is not limited by man. Amen. God can go far above and beyond all things to do what He wants to do. Amen. He can do the miraculous for you tonight. How could this great and powerful God be limited by humanity? Humanity has the power to choose. You have a choice tonight. God has given you a choice. You can serve Him, or you can walk away and continue serving the false gods of this world that lead to all of the things I just talked about. Aside from the angels that fell, human beings are the only creatures that know of that rebel against the will of God. Every aspect of every system in the universe is subject without question to the purpose for which God created it. He ordered the cycle of rain and clouds and the distribution of water, the abundance of plant life, that provides edible, nourishing food and for us to eat, for us to consume. Humanity follows the plan that he ordered from the beginning of creation. But we have been given a choice. You have a choice tonight. When you come into this place, you have a choice to lift up your hands. Like the Bible says, lift up your hands, O ye gates, and the King of glory shall come in. Amen. You may come in and say, well, I didn't feel God in that place. It's because you didn't worship him. Amen. If you lift up your hands and praise God, you'll feel God. Amen. You'll feel his power. Amen. Because of a choice. He will not come down and drag your hand into the air. Amen. It ought not have to be a worship leader stand in a pulpit and say, come on, worship God. Come on, praise him. Come on, lift your voice. Come on, clap your hands, all ye people. It not ought have to be. We ought to have a choice when we walk through that door. I will enter in his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. It ought to be the worship leader's job to say, okay, hold up, stop. Wait. Woo, stay. Come on. Hold up.
Yeah.
Stop worshiping. Hold it. Stop. We're going to preach the word. That's the way it ought to be in the house of God. Amen. We got it all wrong. We got to get the drums. And I love it. I believe in it. Before we'll even just start swaying. It's because we're so weighted down with the world, with the gods of this world.
Right.
All during the week. We haven't communed with God all week. And so when we come into his house, we're just ready to sit down. It just becomes a place that's got a good air conditioner and it's a good place to rest for a few moments. Because the world's got us so troubled. It's because we're not letting God be who he is here at our home or on our job or wherever we find ourselves. Who are you serving? Is the world Baal have you consumed all week? Your miracle is determined by your devotion to the one and only true and living God all every day of the week. Amen. Every day of the week. Amen. This place ought to be erupting as soon as we walk through those doors, because we lay off, amen, the things that have tried to get in our lives and tried to can pull us away and have tried to, notice I said tried.
Right.
Amen. We have to rid ourselves what the draw of the world while we're walking in it. Amen. And come into the house of God with precious people of like precious faith. And when we get in here, man, the power ought to come down. The fire ought to fall. Amen. The power ought to fill us to overflowing. So when we walk back out into that lion's den, amen, nothing will consume us because of the fire, because of the presence of God that we inhabited, that we dwell in, that we brought into this place. Amen. You have the ability. The real God answered by fire. With confidence in his heart that the God he served would appear before Elijah, set up the contest in Mount Carmel. He was confident. Are you confident that God's going to answer prayer when you pray?
Amen.
Yeah. Or in the back of your mind, are you thinking, oh God, are you going to do this? Elijah was confident. You lay it out there.
Right.
Not only that, you'll go get a bunch of water.
Right.
I'm telling you what, God's going to burn this sacrifice. You fools, do whatever you gotta do. You think you got it going on. You think you know who you serve. I'm here to tell you, my God's gonna consume the sacrifice. Hallelujah. That's the way we gotta go to the people that need God. Say, I'm here to tell you that God's gonna fill you with the Holy Ghost right now. When I pray for you, you're gonna be healed in Jesus' name. Are we confident enough that God is gonna breathe down fire from heaven and consume and show the world that he is God? Amen. I serve that kind of God. Amen. I serve that kind of God. And when I go into a hospital room, I believe that that person's going to walk out with me. And I've had it happen. Amen. Pray over them and God touch them and they walk out of the hospital with me. Amen. What mountain miracle are you needing right now? Amen. You're needing the fire from heaven to fall. Amen. God's willing. He's able. Baal's turn. It's Baal's turn. The false prophet set up the altar and called on Baal's name for several hours, but to no avail. Nothing happened. Not even rain fell. I mean, they couldn't even get rain to fall. Remember, they were in a drought. They needed rain.
Right.
And here old Elijah gets, go find some water somewhere, guys. I'm going to prove to you that God is the living God, the most powerful among us all. Elijah knew that Baal would not show up because he did not exist. When it's Jehovah's turn, get out of the way. Don't be standing near the altar. This fire is going to fall. That time had arrived, and for one man, that one man team to show up. 1 Kings 18, beginning with verse 30. Then Elijah called to the people, come over here. And they all crowded around him. And as he repaired the altar of the Lord that had been torn down, he took 12 stones, one to represent each of the tribes of Israel. And he used the stones to rebuild the altar in the name of the Lord. Then he dug a trench around the altar large enough to hold about 3 gallons. And he piled wood on the altar, cut the bull into pieces, and laid the pieces on the wood. Then he said, fill 4 large jars with water and pour the water over the offering and the wood. And after they had done this, he said, do the same thing again. And when they were finished, he said, now, do it a third time. So they did. Basically saturating the whole entire altar. He was convinced. He had no doubt. Amen. Are we willing to put God to the test in our life like he did? That's what he was doing. He knew. He knew God was going to answer. So he got a little crazy with his plan and said, "All right, let's really show them that God is real." Amen. Sometimes we have to test God to say, "Come on, God, I believe you, and I'm gonna climb out here on this little limb, and I'm gonna see a miracle happen." Amen. There's a miracle in this place tonight if you have the willingness to get out of your seat and ask God for it. Is your God able to heal you tonight? Is he able to heal multiple sclerosis? Amen. Can Jesus do that? Can he heal sugar diabetes? Yes, he can. God can do anything. What are you willing for God to do for you? Amen. What is the miracle that you need so desperately in your life for God to do? Are you, like Elijah, willing to lay it all out so that everybody knows it's got to be God if he does it? Yeah. He challenged God. And God answered. Amen. God is willing to heal your body, but we're not willing to ask him to. Well, I asked him in 1930 when I first received the Holy Ghost, and God didn't do it for me just like that. Like I wanted him to do this, and I wanted him to do that, and I wanted him to do this, and he just wouldn't listen to me. You got to remember, he is God, and you're not. Amen. But he does answer. Amen. If you come to him boldly, if you seek him, the Bible says he will answer. Amen. Knock and it shall be opened. Amen. If I want to get into a house and nobody's coming to the door, do I just go, "They didn't come"? But I know what's in there can help me. Guess it won't work. If I know what's in there is going to help me and there's no other way, come on, this door. I'm going to... Yeah. Come on! You got what I need. You got the answer in there. Open that door. Let me have my miracle. Come on, I need it. I'm not going away. You might as well open up right now. Come on. Do we have that kind of desire when we come into the house of God with our need? Do we have that belief in us that God's going to do this? I don't care if it's today, tomorrow, next week. I'm going to keep asking. I'm going to keep knocking until it happens. Jesus is going to answer my need. The miracle is mine. He's the God of all gods. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. He is the way maker. It's God. He can do it. Hallelujah. I am going to stand here and I'm going to knock and I'm going to call and I'm going to ask and I'm going to believe it until it happens. Praise God. And he promises in his word that if you are like that, he will hear you. He will not forsake you. He will answer your call. He will answer and he will come to you. But we have to be convinced.
Right.
Amen. We got to go to him and believe, and truth prevailed, folks.
Right.
Truth prevailed over this situation. Amen. And truth will always prevail.
Amen.
Amen. God will answer your prayer. But keep praying. Keep knocking the door down. Keep beating on the door. Amen. Don't give up. Don't stop asking. Don't stop. Amen. Keep believing God for your miracle.
Amen.
It's on the mountain.
Yes,
it was incontestable as to which side was triumphant. Fire consumed it all.
Right.
Licked up the water that was so precious to every one of them. Amen. And it sacrificed as well. There was no longer a question about who God was. Amen. And when your miracle comes, there's going to be no question who did it.
Right. Amen. That's the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It was God. It was God. It was God. Don't ever take credit for what God does in your life.
Right.
Amen. Thank God for everything.
Amen.
Let God be God.
Yes.
Don't let this flesh get all beat up and
right.
puffed up and say, man, what I did, God did that. No. God did that. He just allowed you to tag along.
Yeah.
Amen? In the aftermath of Elijah's victory, the people found welcome relief from the famine as God ended the drought. How many's ready?
Yes.
Has there been a drought in your life? Come on. You've been watering, you've been tilling, and you've been trying to keep things fertile, and you've been trying to keep it just so, but there's been a drought. There's been some dryness. Amen. Come on, the prophet talked about it a year ago. Dry places. Dry places that we're living in. Amen. We need rain, folks. We need Holy Ghost rain to fall in our dry places that we have not been able to see the miracle that we've so desired in our lives to happen yet. It's been dry. It's been cracked. It's just been not what we want. But God, I'm here to tell you, brought rain. Amen. But what happened is, they got a revelation. Amen. They realized they weren't serving the one and only true and living God and the things that he required. And when they got that repaired, and when they got that altar fixed, and they got the things right, and they saw the fire fall, and they saw all those things happen, then they got their mind made up. Hey, he is God. They got back on track. And when you get back on track, your family's coming in. When you get back on track, God is going to move in your workplace. Amen. God's going to do the miracles you're seeking after. It had been a long struggle, but Baal was shown to be the false deity he truly was. So as I close tonight, you may be wavering between two opinions. There are churches that claim to have the Spirit, but have no requirements for living a holy life. Come as you are. Stay as you are. Don't change. Just repeat after me and everything's going to be all right. You're going to be fine. Do not be confused. Christianity was never intended to be measured by how loud you can scream at the altar. It is a measure by righteousness. Are you doing what's right? Are you determined to follow Jesus? Are you determined to be a Christian? To not only say you're a Christian, but to look and act and walk and talk like one. And be devoted like one. It is not a measure by whether or not you have ever been slain at an altar. In John 4:24, it says, God is a spirit, and those and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. Tongues are the sign of the infilling of the Holy Ghost, not stammering lips, laughing and screaming, or falling on the floor. I heard a prophet of God in our movement say, when you do that, you're resisting the Holy Ghost. You may be questioning certain doctrines or standards, but the Word of God must take precedence over any other doctrine. Amen. What does the Word say? Do you want to know what the Word says? Your miracle depends on it. God is willing. If my people shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then, he says, then we got to do some things. We got to turn. We got to turn and say, God, you're it. You're the most important thing. See, we've got it messed up. You've got something else that's more important than God in your life. You're consumed with everything else in your life. You're worried about everything else in your life. God is not the most important thing. And therefore, he is limited in being able to answer what you need him to do. Because your mind's not made up that he is the most important thing. And when your mind gets to that point, then God is going to do He's going to do what he always has planned and intended on doing. It's all about righteousness. I am determined. I'm going to do what he wants me to do. And when we fall in line, and when we give ourselves to God, God always sends down the fire. Amen? And consumes our sacrifice. In John 8:32, it says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I want to be free tonight. There are many options, but the Word must have the final say. What does the Word say? Not what I want, not what I desire, not what I think. Just follow the Word. Today you may have God's of Baal to challenge. So don't wait around. Don't put it off. Put it all on the altar. Get some water out. Dig some trenches. Repair the altar first. And I'm telling you what, God will answer. He'll bring that loved one. He'll heal your body. He'll touch your mind. He'll fix your job situation. He'll do miracles on that mountain. Let's stand. I'm looking forward to God doing miraculous things. Amen? How many has a loved one that they're desperate to see God save and get in the house of God where God calls us to? Amen. Hallelujah. What are you willing to do? Sister. I thought he was jumping out there by faith. Don't let pride get a hold of you. All right. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you.